Morning, Christ Fellowship. We're excited that you're joining us today. Hey, I've got a few things to let you know before we jump into the message. The first thing is this week we're kicking off our Hearing God class, which is really a staple around here at this point. So if you have not taken this class, I want to encourage you to jump in. Honestly, there's probably not something that has transformed my walk with Jesus more than the concepts we jump into in this class. I mean, really to understand that God is speaking to us, not just when we have big prayer requests or have a huge decision to make, but that his voice is always speaking and we can jump into this lifestyle of listening. And so I want to encourage you to jump into that, grab some friends, maybe your spouse, and join in that class, Hearing God, starting this week. The second thing I want to let you know about is we've got a two-night event, February 1st and 2nd, coming up with our friend David Wagner. We're really going to jump into this idea of the prophetic. And he was here with us last year. I know so many of us were encouraged, encountering the love of Jesus. And he's going to be back with us to really equip us in this prophetic stuff and jump in a little bit deeper on it. And so I just want to encourage you to come on out one of those two nights or both of those nights and really join us as we take a deeper dive into this prophetic lifestyle and encountering Jesus and living transformed lives. So join us. We'll see you then.
Awesome. Thank you, Richie. Yes, man, I'm pumped for today. I'm excited about what the Lord is going to speak to us through his word and through different people. Today is going to be a little different, obviously. It's been a little different of a morning, but today I felt like the Lord said, don't just preach a sermon, but today I want it to be more of a workshop. And so today you're not just going to hear me speak or somebody else speak. We're going to hear people speak. We're going to open up the word of God together, but then we're actually going to join together and participate and join together specifically in prayer. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open it up. If you don't have it, go ahead and grab it in the other room or grab your phone, open up whatever Bible app you like to use. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 in just a moment. In this series, as we kick the new year off and as we started our fast, which if you're doing that, man, continue in. If you've fallen off the wagon already, man, jump back on. We're not looking for perfection. But remember, our 21-day fast is withhold to behold. And so we're refraining from something in order that we could connect with God, that we could see him, that we could hear him. And so last week, I kicked off a new series entitled The Jesus Lifestyle. And I talked about fasting and the importance of fasting, how it prepares us, how it empowers us, how it positions us, and how Jesus lived out this in his lifestyle. The lifestyle of Jesus is so important because we look at the things that Jesus did. We're like, man, I wish I could see those in my life. Or we look at what Jesus said. He said that his followers would do the works that he did and even greater. And yet oftentimes we want to get to the fulfillment of that word that he gave without actually doing the things that Jesus did. And so in this series, we've been looking at a real practical insight of how did Jesus live his secret life when nobody else was around? What were the rhythms that Jesus adopted and lived in that allowed him to stay connected to the Father and allow the kingdom of God to flow through his life? And that's what I want. That's what I want for our church. And so we're going to continue today. And today we're going to look at this thing that Jesus did, and it's prayer. It's not just something he did. He also taught. And today I want to start with really the first teaching that Jesus gave on prayer. It's in John or Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap empty phrases on as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for these many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Many of us know this passage. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus unpacks what it looks like to pray. And so today I want to start by talking about prayer in general. And generally, when we're talking about prayer, we oftentimes think of it as like we have a Santa Claus or we have somebody who we go to and we say what we need and we hope that we receive it. But in the Bible, what prayer is more than anything else, it's a divine dialogue where our relationship or our fellowship with God is actually deepened. So it's a dialogue. It's not just me telling the Lord what I need or what I want, but it's me, yes, pouring out my heart, but then he speaks back to me. This is prayer, and this is what I want us to grow in today. You see, prayer is, yes, we come to the Father with our needs. It says in this passage that he knows our needs before we ever speak them, yet he still wants us to come to him to speak. And so in prayer, what do? I come to the Father and I pour out my heart. I pour out my frustrations, I pour out my pain, I pour out my celebration, I pour out my needs, my petitions. But then I don't just leave, I actually stay with him. And as I stay with him, I allow him to pour his heart into me. And that's the picture I want you to have today as we're thinking about prayer, that it's a pouring out to the Father, but then the Father then pours back into us. See, prayer is really, at its core, it's an act of faith. When I pray, it's an act of faith because I'm trusting that a God who I cannot see hears my prayers. It's an act of faith because I'm being honest and vulnerable with the Lord and I'm trusting in his goodness no matter what I tell him. It's an act of faith that I believe that God is with me and that he hears me. And what I know about faith is that it pleases the Lord. Like we talked about a few weeks ago, it is impossible to please the Lord apart from faith. And so when we pray, we are actually pleasing the Lord because it's an expression of faith and it's drawing us into fellowship, which is his desire for each one of us. When Jesus was walking the earth, he said something that Isaiah actually said all the way back in the Old Testament. Jesus says that my Father's house will be called a house of prayer. My Father's house will be called a house of prayer. And I can tell you, as the leader of this church, that we are endeavoring to be a church that is a house of prayer. To be a church where we talk to the Father, but also that we hear from him. And so at this church, we're really making an intentional steps to say, how do we begin to be a people that don't just talk about prayer, but actually pray? How do we be a people that actually hears from the Lord? How do we be a people that on behalf of others that we talk to the Lord? That's, I think, the vision that God has for his church, not just our church, but his church, to be a house of prayer. And one of the ways that we express that here at this church is that Monday through Thursday, typically, we have a midday worship and prayer. And just last week, I was up here leading with Tyler and Jason, and we were praying and we were singing unto the Lord and worshiping. And as they were singing, I had this mental picture as I was praying of our church building. And the church building, above it was this cloud or like this smoke that was going all the way up to heaven. Not because the building was on fire, but because something was happening in the building that was raising up to the Lord. And what I felt like the Lord reminded me is in Revelation chapter 8, I believe, it says that our prayers, the prayers of the saints, they ascend up to heaven, and it says that the angels actually gather them together. It's a beautiful, amazing picture that your prayers actually ascend to the throne room of God. And as I was looking, it had this mental picture. I then kind of zoomed out, and I saw a bunch of different houses all over the Tri-Cities and beyond, all over the states and all over the world. And each one of these houses also had a similar cloud or smoke that was coming up from the roof all the way to heaven. And it was a picture, I think, that we're not just called to be a house of prayer in this room. We're not just called to be a house of prayer when we gather in large gatherings, but we actually are houses of prayer. See, we are the temple of God, the living God lives there. Therefore, you are the house of God. You are the dwelling place of God. And what he desires for you is that he would have fellowship with you as you pray, as you speak, and as you hear. And what the picture I had of is all these different houses were ascending, the prayers ascending over the Father. It's a beautiful picture. And I believe it's going to be fulfilled today, that even though we're not all gathered in one spot today, that all over the Tri-Cities and all over the states and maybe even the world, that as we partner together and pray, that we're going to see the prayers of the saints, the people of God, the prayers ascend up to the throne room of God. And I hope that encouraged you today. Today, like I said, is going to be a little different. We're not just going to talk about prayer, but this is going to be a workshop style. So I've got five different people that are going to be sharing, and they're going to be sharing specifically the different ways that Jesus prayed. And that's what I love about Jesus. He didn't just teach us to pray. He actually prayed. And so as I open up the scriptures and I look at all the ways that Jesus prayed, today I just grabbed five of them. And I'm going to have different people share each one. So the first one is the prayer in solitude. This is what Jesus references here in his teaching. He says, pray in secret that the Father who hears in secret will reward you. And so he's really saying there's a time to pray out loud. There's a time to pray in a large gathering. Jesus didn't shy away from that. But more than likely and more often than not, our prayer life is going to be behind closed doors where nobody sees you, where nobody hears you. It's not for show. It's not to impress somebody. But it's so that we could fellowship with the Lord. And Jesus lived this out. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "Then rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." What we see as we look at Jesus is time and time again, he would leave the crowd. He would even leave his friend group, his disciples, and he would go off to be by himself to pray. And so the first one that I want to talk about today and actually pray into is prayer in solitude. And today I got Billy Gray. Billy is an incredible man. He's been part of the church. How long about have you been part of Christ Fellowship?
I've been here about 21 years.
21 years. And let me just honor Billy for a second. When I think of prayer, I think of Billy. For 21 years, he's been really one of our prayer leaders at this church. Was it Tuesday nights usually for years?
Yes.
You would gather, whether a small group of people, sometimes just by yourself in this church, and you would pray for our church, for our staff, for our community. Yeah. When I think about you, man, I think of prayer. And honestly, just being with Billy, I've had the chance to pray with him a lot for people that need healing, people that are going through relational issues, and just to hear you pray, it actually draws me to Jesus. So I just want to honor you today.
Thank you.
And as a man who has given his life to prayer, would you just give us maybe just some insight on this prayer when nobody else is around, what it looks like in your life or what you think would be helpful to share today?
Well, of course, you know as well as I do that prayer is just essential. I mean, mm-hmm. if you want spiritual growth in your life, you need to have communion with the Father.
So good, man.
And you know, as came to the Lord kind of late in life, you know, like about 30 years old, it's kind of like going to first grade. Mm. You know, didn't know anything about the Father or the Son. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's something how God put people in your path. So I had a mentor that, you know, spoon-fed me the gospel. Because I think the Word of God and prayer goes hand in hand.
Come on, preach it, man. You know it. We
and,
love it
but he didn't say, this is how you're supposed to pray. But I'd listen to him pray. Mm. It was so simple. Mm. I mean, you know, instead of saying, God, if thy will be done, he'd say, Lord, if it's all right with you. That's kind of how he would do it.
I love that.
Yeah, and it was so personal, too. And so I thought, you know, we need to be real. You know, I listened to Kate last week, and I couldn't help but just smile when she was talking about being real. Mm-hmm. You know, don't try to be something that you're not.
Yeah.
You know, don't put on a false front.
Yeah.
You know, God knows all about you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just be real.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you, like early in the morning, I think it's good to start your day.
That's what you usually
prayer.
Do? Is that your typical life? Like you kind of rotation? You kind of jump with the Lord and get into it in the morning?
It's not like I fall out of bed and go on my knees, you know. but I do.
Your wife may say that's yeah. true. She'd say amen to that.
But usually sometime that morning, I'll say, good morning, Lord.
Oh, come on. Yeah, that's so good.
And so then I'll usually start out with some prayer, some scripture. Mm-hmm. You know, we started John a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And so starting the first of the year, I thought, you know, I'm going to start reading John again.
Come on.
And so, it's so fitting. Mm-hmm. That today is the 17th,
and
the 17th chapter of John.
Prayer of Jesus.
Oh, hey, he has been. Jesus was talking to the disciples, and it said, and after he got through talking to him, so he looked up to heaven, and he prayed.
That's so good, Billy.
And he said, you know, my hour has come, because he's kept telling his disciples, you know, my hour hadn't yet come. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he was saying was, you know, you gave me the word, and I gave them the word.
Yeah.
And so, and one of the things he said in there too is, I'm praying for them, mm-hmm. you know. And if he's praying for them, he's praying for us too, because we're seated right hand of the Father.
Yeah.
So early in the morning, after I get through reading my scripture, then I pray.
Come on.
And, you know, I pray for just various things. Mm-hmm. And always pray for my wife, of course. Mm-hmm. But I always pray for this church. Mm-hmm. And but one of the neat things, too, is where I'm at work. It's just the two of us, so sometimes we have a little break. And sometimes I'll even slip away. Because mm-hmm. God's always on your mind.
Yeah, come on.
You know, and I think one of the good times for me to pray, too, is like when I'm driving, mm-hmm. you know. And because I'm usually listening to praise music. But then that's the times whenever I see God working. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny sometimes. I'll just smile and I'll say, God, you're something. You know, you're really something. You know, I didn't recognize that at first, but I recognize it now.
Yeah.
So
kind of this ongoing peace.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's got to be an ongoing peace. Yeah. And the only way you can do that is to continually be in a spirit of praise and prayer. Mm-hmm. And, of course, reading your word as well. So, you know, I've learned not only, you know, by just, you know, but being around people, mm-hmm. you know, like praying with people too.
Yeah.
And you see how they pray and how genuine they are mm-hmm. in their prayers as well. Mm-hmm. And it kind of helps you as well. So,
yeah, you grow. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I'm going to ask Billy. So what we're going to do today, so I'm going to have five different people share. So Billy just shared. And then we're going to just engage in prayer together as a church. I told you this is more participatory. It's not just listening to Billy, but specifically, Billy, man, I honor you today just for your life of prayer and how much has come to pass in this church because of your prayers and for praying for me and my family. I'm so grateful. So would you just pray specifically that we would have a heart as a church to be a house of prayer and that those that are listening today and engaging with us, that they would even pray that, God, would you give me a desire to pray? Would you just lead us, man?
I will. Yeah. Father in heaven, thank you for being here. Thank you, Lord, for just an awesome privilege to be able to come before you. And thank you, Lord, for this time that we were able to worship you too. And I pray, Lord, that that was pleasing to you. Father, I pray, Lord, as a church, that we will continue to put you first in our life. That we will love you first and foremost, but we'll love others as well. And Father, I just pray that we will be a praying church. And I pray, Lord, that we will be called a house of prayer for all people.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank you, Lord, that you have blessed our church, Cross Fellowship Church, the way that you have. Because we've always kept our eyes on you, always put you first. I want to pray, Lord, for my pastor, Pastor Derek. And I pray, Lord, you'll continue, Lord, to have your hand upon him. Continue, Lord, to give him wisdom that he'll be able to lead this church the way you want him to lead. Pray, Lord, for his wife, Kate, for his family as well. Thank you so much, Lord, for our staff and how they work just tirelessly to make sure that that this church is everything that it's supposed to be. And that they, every time that we come before you on Sundays or whenever we might gather together, that we do it with excellence because you deserve our best. Father, I pray, Lord, for this upcoming year, that sometime throughout this year that we'll be able to gather together, each and every one of us, just like we did before. And I pray, Lord, that you continue, Lord, to bring people in here. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, you bring people in here that has never known you as Lord and Savior, that new life will be born in this place and throughout this place. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. And I pray that everything we say and do will be used to glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Billy. Great job, man. Love you, man. So that was the first one, so prayer in solitude. And so as we look at the life of Jesus and his lifestyle, we also see something unique that maybe you'd miss out of if you're not specifically looking at it. But we also see not only did Jesus pray in solitude, but he also prayed honest prayers, which is pretty incredible. And so let me just give you, this is Matthew 26, verse 38-39. And then Jesus said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And then going a little further, Jesus fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "Father, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And then just a little bit after that, as he's hanging on the cross, he cries out and he's quoting a psalm. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then it says in Luke that he yields up his spirit. So the Father hadn't turned his back on him. But in that moment, Jesus was speaking out what felt to be true, that he felt in isolation. And he trusted the Lord so much that he was honest with him. And honestly, I think this is a huge component of our prayer life that many of us that grew up in church, it's just foreign to us. We're like, we got to tell Jesus what he wants to hear. I got to have the right Bible, you know, Sunday morning answer. And yet we read the Psalms, we read David. They were serious prayers. They were honest prayers. They weren't fluffy and feel good all the time. They came from the heart. And so today I got Stephanie here with us, and Stephanie's on our staff. She leads our 252, or our really elementary kids, does an incredible job. They have an incredible family, her and Scott and their kids. And we were in staff this week, and you said something interesting that piqued my ear, my attention. You talked about how this last year in 2020, the Lord taught you to be honest in prayer. So would you mind just sharing a little bit what that looks like?
Yes. 2020 was a rough year. Yeah. It was challenging for a lot of people, for sure, myself included. And I can't even begin to say that without saying that it was an awesome year, too. There was a ton of really great things and probably more amazing things than bad things. The problem was for me is that the bad just seemed overwhelming. And, you know, we've had rough years before, and you go through ups and downs in life. But it just seemed like
you guys were taking it on the chin time and time, health-wise, other things.
You know that saying, like, don't kick them when they're down?
Yeah.
Well, that was not in play last year. It was like, they're down, keep going, just nail them.
Yeah.
And it was tough. It just, you know, it was overwhelming. And, you know, my kids were virtual. You know, we were working from home, and friends and family were sick, and it just kept, like, every time I turned around, every time I answered the phone, it was just more bad news. Mm-hmm. And it was just so discouraging. And, you know, for someone like me, who is positive and the cup is half full kind of girl, I'm more than a conqueror, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it was just like, again, that just that word of just overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I found myself in a place that I had never experienced before. I grew up in the church, and it was a Pentecostal church. I grew up in a word of faith time. And so, you know, you don't necessarily acknowledge the thing. You just kind of
speak it into existence.
I'm telling you, you look to that horizon. You know the truth. You start speaking the truth. You declare who you are in Christ. Yeah. And I know all of that.
Yeah.
And I believe it all, and it's all true.
Yeah, there's a time and place for that.
There is. And I was not there.
Yeah,
you weren't there. I could not speak my way out of where I was, and I found myself withdrawing. And I just wanted to be alone. You know, I'm the type of person that gets up and gets ready every day, whether I leave the house or I don't, and I did not want to get ready. And I'm a family person. We find any reason to celebrate in life. It's Tuesday, let's make tacos. Like,
yes.
You know, it's just that kind of family. I didn't want to get together, which is not normal for me. And again, just wanted to be alone. And I found myself in a very dark place. And I really didn't know how to handle that because, like I said before, I've been able to pray and speak the word over myself and kind of pick myself back up. And I wasn't able to really do that. And one day, it was the end of the day, and all the kids were in bed. Scott was already in bed, and I was by myself. And I was collecting my thoughts, thinking about the day ahead, what I had to accomplish. And I felt like the Lord nudge me and just say, like, hey, how are you? I'm great. I'm good. Everything is fine. Tomorrow's going to be a great day. I can do this because of who you are inside of me. I can accomplish anything, you know, and it's like silent. Yeah, like hitting a brick wall, you know, and he's like, okay, you know, so how are you? I'm like, I'm great. I'm full of hope. I'm full of joy. I got this. I'm full of your love. And he's like, really? Are you? Silence again. From, like that time, it was like deafening. Like he's like, "Are you?" No. Like,
come on.
No, I am absolutely not okay. And I, you know, I think it's so good to be vulnerable, but it was just so hard because this was so much deeper for me than just not okay. Like, nothing was okay. I wasn't okay with anything that was going on. I wasn't okay being at home all the time. I wasn't okay that my kids weren't in school. I wasn't okay that everyone was sick. Like, nothing was okay. And, you know, I just broke. I told the Lord, I'm like, I am heartbroken. I'm so disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, and I was angry.
Yeah.
I was full of fear. I was stressed and tired. And the worst part is I could not even see how anything was going to change. Mm. And I'm a dreamer.
Yeah, scary.
And I couldn't even, I'm like, what's the point? Mm. I had lost all hope. And I think the part that really tore me up is that if I had lost hope, then I had lost faith. And what did that say about me?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, I mean, I work for a church. I have to have faith. I have to have hope because everyone's looking to me, you know, and we set that standard. And that is all good and true. But at the same time, I'm just a person and I'm hurting.
Yeah.
And the Lord just really humbled me. And I was a hot mess that night, and it was awesome. The Lord, you know, when I finally just let it all out, it's so funny because I was honestly ashamed to tell God that I had lost hope.
Yeah.
I mean, he already knew.
So yeah.
It's just, you know, but it was beautiful because in that moment, he just embraced me. Mm. And his response to me was just, finally, yes,
come on,
come here, come. Sit in this for a minute. Let me
hold you.
Whatever
you got, bring it to
me. You know, and I wept, I cried, I was angry, and I just let it all out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all of a sudden, this beautiful truth came, and he's just like, you know, now you can be more than a conqueror.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can do all things because I'm inside it. Because you acknowledge the confession, I had this lie here, and I'm building all these perfect things on top, but the core of me was broken, and I just needed to acknowledge to Jesus that I'm absolutely not okay.
Yeah.
And it was so good. I've never felt so good to say I'm not okay in my whole life.
Mm. Yeah, I actually think it's probably the greatest expressions of faith is when we tell God the truth.
Yeah.
So you said, like, I felt like I got to lead, but actually I think what you did was probably one of the most powerful expressions of faith, maybe in your whole life, was to trust God enough to tell him the truth. And then how that broke some freedom and beginning to build off that and what the Lord continues to do in your life and seeing some breakthrough, which is awesome. And so I think many of us feel the way Stephanie has felt. I know I've been there, my wife's been there. I think we've all been there, if we just be honest, right? This is what the Lord wants. He wants you to be honest. We don't need plastic Christianity. Put your face on, put a face mask on, act like everything's all right. The Lord wants you, and he wants to build on truth. That's where we're set free. And so would you just lead us, our church, as people were in their living rooms and wherever in their homes, would you just lead us in just a prayer of honesty and invite people to be honest with the Lord that they could find truth and build off of that?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And if you're like me, I mean, when we're watching church together, there's a lot of things going on. I just really encourage you, if not in this moment, to come back to this
moment.
Yeah,
that's good. Good word.
Take some time to really gather yourself. Maybe you're the type of person that likes to journal and write things down. Maybe you're the type of person that needs to say it out loud. So get some quiet time by yourself. And maybe you can just process this in your mind and your heart right now. But this is probably the most powerful thing that's going to set you up for God to do something amazing in your life this year. So, Lord, I just thank you so much that you're so good. I thank you that when we come to you, that there is no judgment whatsoever. There's no guilt. There's no fear. There's no shame. You already know it, and you are just waiting for us with open arms to just be honest. Because you have the entire world for us. You want the best for us. Every good and perfect gift is from you and for us. So right now, wherever you are, if there's something that you're going through and you just feel like you're lost or hopeless or you're scared or you're hurting or you're sick or you can't see or dream your way out of something, or you've prayed and you've read and you just think to yourself, how is this working for everyone else and not for me? Why are all of these things happening to me? I cannot take anymore. I mean, that part of it of saying I can't do it anymore is part of it, but you need to give it to Jesus. He has something so beautiful for you. So take a moment and write it down or think about it. And I want you to picture Jesus. And I want you just to give it to him, all that stuff, whatever it is, that hurt, that brokenness, that sickness, defeat, disappointment, your hopes and your dreams that you thought that might happen have not. And just lay them before him. And Lord, we just ask that you would speak to us and you would tell us your truth over us. Lord, tell us what you see. Tell us who we are. Tell us the truth about this situation. And Lord, just tell us what we need to do, just one step. What is the next thing that we need to do? I thank you, God, that you're just so wonderful and lovely. I thank you, God, that you're just so perfect. I thank you that you're so loving and tender and that you care so deeply for everything that we're going through. And God, I thank you that you fill us with your Holy Spirit and you make us strong and you give us that hope and that joy that, Father, we can move forward from whatever this thing that was binding us with such great strength and purpose, and that you would use us to bring life and love and joy to somebody else, that we would be able to testify of your goodness. God, I thank you that being vulnerable doesn't make us weak, it makes us strong.
Yeah, Lord.
We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steph. Man, I would encourage you. What Steph just really walked us through was confession, and confession is more than just telling God all the ways that we sin, but it's just simply telling God the truth, and this is what he wants. That's the only way we can step in freedom, and so I would encourage you that today or whenever you find yourself praying, that you would just be honest with the Lord. Just bring who you are and what you're dealing with, and then let him process it with you. As I was studying the scriptures and looking at other ways that Jesus prayed, there was one that stood out to me, and this is in Matthew chapter 14, verses 17 through 21. It's the story where Jesus was teaching, and there was a large crowd, and eventually it got into the evening, and he could tell that the crowd was hungry, so he turns to the disciples and says, "Hey, guys, go feed this thousands of people," and they're, you know, they get huddled up and they say, how do we feed this many people? And they go back to Jesus and they told him the truth, which I love that. They said, "We don't know how to do this. I don't think it's possible. We need to send them away." And this is what Jesus said. He said, we only have 5 loaves here of bread and 2 fish. And he said to them, "Bring them to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down in the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and he said a blessing. So in this moment, I want you to picture Jesus taking what he had, what he's given, and he holds it up and he blesses it, he breaks it, and he begins to pass it out. And as they do, they find out that it's not running out, that actually at the end of the day, when everybody had their fill, there was actually abundance left over. And so really what Jesus was showing us is a prayer for provision, a prayer for provision. He actually taught us to pray this way: "Father, would you give us our daily bread?" That's a prayer for provision for what we need in the moment, and Jesus lives it out right here. And I don't know about you, but there's an area in my life where I need God to provide. There's some areas where I feel like there's lack in my life that I need him to provide. And so today, Randy, who is an incredible part of our team, he runs all of our media. So everything camera-wise, everything that's happening here behind the scenes, Randy has an incredible team that leads us on that. But recently, Randy, you've navigated some lack, some challenge, and you've seen God provide in the midst. So I'd love for you just to share a little bit about that, man.
Yeah, so last year, the end of last year, our car decided to implode. All right. And this is a car that, yeah, always fun, a good year for it. And so we had paid cash for this car because we didn't, you know, we're done with debt. We don't want any more debt. We don't want car payments, any of that stuff. So that was like, that was our vehicle, you know, one vehicle. And we blew a head gasket and it died on us. And so in the beginning, you know, I'm like, you know, fallen world, it's going to happen. You know, I just got to like man up. I got to deal with this. I'm just going to have to, we have to dig, you know, all of our savings and buy a new car because we're not getting, you know, a loan or anything like that. So, you know, I borrow a friend's car and we start car shopping. Mm-hmm. You know, in the beginning, I'm like, oh, this is actually good. I'm going to get a new ride. Nice. Like, you know, this is going to be sweet. And nothing would work out. Mm-hmm. Like everything I would pursue, it would just fizzle. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, man, this is so disappointing. And a lease that I was going for kind of fell through. And I'm like, man, what am I supposed to do? And I was just really discouraged. Mm-hmm. And I was talking with a friend. And I was talking to Gina in the office. And I was like praying that, you know, I don't know. I just want God to provide the right car for me. And I'm not asking for anything crazy. And she goes, you know what? I think you should be extravagant with how you're praying. And so we prayed that God would provide a car for me.
Come
like
on.
Someone would just like give me a car. Something would open up. And I'm like, all right, you know, like I'm going to join that prayer. I'll say amen to that.
I'll take that prayer.
And
for
I
kind of
like left and I didn't think about it for a few days. But I was at a friend's house and we were just talking. We were just talking about God, about his life. He's, you know, looking at a new job and we're having this conversation. And I thought, you know what? The car I'm borrowing, I'm going to ask my other friend if he wants to sell it to me. I'm like, and in my mind, I thought I was just kind of settling, like, you know, I'll just buy a used car.
Yeah.
So I'm going, okay. So I tell my friend, I'm like, I'm going to buy so-and-so's car. I'm going to do that. I think it's a good thing. And he's willing to sell it to me. And he's like, oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So I go and talk to my friend. I'm like, hey, I want to buy your car. He's like, all right, let's talk about it Sunday. And I come to church Sunday. And he goes, hey, I got the title for you to sign. And I was like, oh, I mean, I didn't bring money like with me today. I thought we were going to talk about it. Like, you know, kind of like, well, how much is it? Like, what are you going to do? You know? And and he goes, oh, no, John paid for it. He bought your car for you. And the title's here for you to sign. And so the way that it worked together, where I went from distraught, I don't have the money to spend on this. This isn't what we planned for. It went from just a conversation to a conversation, each one kind of inserting a little bit of what God is saying into mm-hmm. my life. And then all of a sudden, I have a car given to us.
Come on.
Like just free, completely
provision.
Free.
Man.
Yeah, and God provided. And I couldn't get it out of my head. I couldn't shake it. Like, wow, you know. Those conversations that I had were really good, and they were like we were praying together as my good friend. And it's funny how God's provision—I wouldn't have even prayed for that if it wasn't for somebody else inserting that in my life. Like sometimes God's provision comes through advice.
Yeah.
Sometimes it comes through a conversation with your friend, mm-hmm. and he doesn't realize the provision that he gave me. Mm-hmm. And since that's happened, I've had so many opportunities to be a provision to
that's
somebody.
So, good. So it's a ripple effect. It kind of keeps going, right?
It has. I mean, that week I got a free car. Someone asked, can you take me to the airport?
Yeah.
Of course I can take you to the airport.
I've got a free
car. I have
a car.
You know, like, come on in. Yeah. But it changed my perspective on provision. And it really is the fish, like what you have to offer and that daily bread and why God gives us the daily bread. Mm. The provision wasn't the finish line.
Yes.
And that's how I was approaching my prayers for so long of like,
just
you know, once I get
thing.
This,
yeah.
you know, then I can start to like build up again and we can start saving and we can, you know, but really it's like, no, the daily bread is there and there's no lack of it.
Yeah.
Don't store it up. Like the daily bread is it's there for you. The provision is there for you. And just, I really encourage you to be a provision.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wasn't thinking that way. And when I needed provision, I wasn't thinking about providing for somebody else, or even if that provision is advice or a timely word, like those things are what led to my provision.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really, it changed my perspective on everything.
I love that, man. That's so good. God provides in so many ways. I love that specific story. It's recent that happened. And so I think many of us probably have some area of a lack. And so would you just mind giving us a little space to maybe bring that before the Lord? I think it's beautiful where he took the bread and he actually lifted it up, or when you were Gina and you guys said, Lord, would you just give me a car? We have this need. Here it is. I'm offering this to you. I think it's beautiful. And I think even just that faith to say, God, I'm trusting you. That's faith. I trust you. Whatever happens, happens, but I'm trusting you with this. Would you mind just leading our church just right now, wherever they're at, in just asking the Lord, where am I lacking?
Yeah.
And then invite him to hold it up to him and say, God, what? How do you want to provide? I want you to provide. Would you mind doing that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And when you said that, the one thing that resonates with me is I needed the faith of the provision more than the provision.
Yeah, come on.
I needed that faith that God was my provision more than I actually needed the provision. I got around.
Yeah.
But I needed that faith, and that was the threshold that I needed to cross.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah, let's just pray. And I just invite you to bring truth to God. Bring to Him an area of your life where you need provision. Whatever that area is, I want you to just ask God, God, what area in my life do I need provision? Mm-hmm. And everything with God is an exchange. And so I want you to lift up that area that you need provision and just boldly ask the Father, who gives good gifts and loves to give good gifts, to provide that provision. God, I pray that you would fill these people with faith. God, you are truth, and you are a good Father who gives good gifts. God, I just pray that right now that you would provide. You're just waiting. You're excited to provide this for them, God. You delight in it. God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Randy. Man, what I love about what his story was, it was actually overflowed, that it continued, and that's what we see in Jesus, that he says that I came not only to give you life, but to give you abundant life. I believe that he has that for each one of us, and that abundant life really is to know him, to walk in fellowship with him. And I love how God even works in our need and our lack is actually an invitation for us to know him. It's beautiful how God sets that up. Jesus also prayed toward the end of his life, something that he taught earlier. So remember in Matthew chapter 6, where I shared what he taught, and here he said, forgive your debtor ask the Lord, forgive me my debts as I forgive those that offend me or that come against me. And so Jesus taught this, forgive, but also at the end of his life, very end of his life on earth, he's being taken away, and it says that he's got two criminals that are being led to the cross with him. One is going to be his right, one on his left, and it says that they crucify Christ. They put the nails or the pieces of metal through his wrists, through his feet, and they put up the cross and the pain of that. And in that moment of agony, in that moment of injustice, it was not that Jesus had done anything wrong at all. In that moment, he says this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And in that moment, Jesus is actually living out what he taught us to pray. Father, teach us to forgive those who owe us the debt. And so in that moment, Jesus is saying, Father, forgive them. And it's a prayer to him and the Father. And so I think many of us, we have moments where people offend us. Can somebody just say amen to that? Man, we live with people that are broken, that are struggling and figuring things out. And so there's lots of opportunity for us to get offended, for us to get hurt, for people to come against us. And in those moments, we have an opportunity to do one of the two things. We can reject what God has called us to, and we can hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness, or we can forgive them to cut off the debt. And so Troy is with us. Troy is an incredible guy at this church. He's been on the board, was on the board for a long time before I got here. A long time. He's no longer a board member because we rotate every so many years. But just an amazing guy in our community, a heart for the Lord, a beautiful family. But the reason I asked Troy to share today is because he's entered into some freedom the last couple years that you didn't necessarily have before, and a lot of it surrounds forgiveness. And so why don't you just share a little bit with this man on how forgiveness and that prayer of forgiveness has impacted your own life, man.
Thank you, Derek.
You like my hand motions? Is that what you're laughing at? Troy also has jokes for days that aren't very funny, but he laughs at his own jokes.
I love my jokes. I really do. Hearing this verse, I've heard it all my life from growing up. And forgiveness to me seemed like, at my old church, it was, I forgive you, but God don't like ugly.
Ooh.
I mean, it's all conditional forgiveness. And, you know, the more southern way, people usually say, bless your heart, I forgive you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all conditional. If you're nice to me, I'm nice to you.
At least to your face.
At least to your face.
Yeah.
And, but now that I learned the power of forgiveness, this verse means so much more. Yeah. When Jesus talked about, you know, Father, forgive them. At that time, he was actually saying, Father, I vouch for these people. Mm. I stand in the gap for them. Forgive them. And it, you know, you talked about the prayer. What was it? The Lord's Prayer, Disciples' Prayer?
Yeah.
It even goes much further if you think about him fasting 40 days and 40 nights. A lot of people say addiction is worse than getting the crap beat out of you, feeling that pain. He did this for 40 days. And guess what? The enemy came to tempt him mm-hmm. with the same thing that he could have said when he was being crucified. Mm. Angels come.
Yeah.
Take charge. But at that time, during his fast, he denied it. He said, flee from me, Satan. Mm. And he was able to do the same thing during that crucifixion. Mm. If he would have got the angels to take charge, ego would have took over, resentment would have took over. The same things that's happened in my life. And to give you a testimony on that, when I was, probably a couple years ago, I was listening to this guy talk, and he was like, if you have anger, if you have resentment, if you have frustration, doubt, any of that stuff, a lot of it, the root of it is unforgiveness. Hmm. And I was like fine with that. I was okay with that. But then he said 99.9% of the time it comes from your parents. Hmm. And I was like, my parents are angels. There's no way. And I think it was 2 weeks, maybe a week and a half, and I went before God, and I was praying, you know, show me where this unforgiveness started. And I got down to college, high school, and then right when I thought about my parents in this situation, I could feel that anger, resentment build up. And the next thing he said was, you got to go to them. Mm-hmm. And those at the root cause, that's who you have to go to and get your freedom from that. And on the way, my parents live in Knoxville. On the way to Knoxville, I knew it was God because in my head, I became religious. The enemy was sitting there saying, you're supposed to honor your mother and father. You just think you're so spiritual now. Mm-hmm. You're going to break. They're close to 70 years old. You're going to kill them mm-hmm. if you talk to them. And all these, I mean, it was loud. Mm-hmm. All these things were loud. But what I noticed was the stillness from the inside was sitting there saying opposite scriptures mm-hmm. to give me confidence to go to my mom and dad.
Yeah.
And I encourage y'all, if I'm saying that and you think about your parents and there's a certain feeling about it, go to them. Love on them. Speak life into them because you're standing in the gap for them and not holding anything against them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a parent. If I knew better, I would do better. Mm-hmm. So I went to my mom and dad, talked to them about it, but my freedom was already on the ride up there. Mm-hmm. I mean,
your obedience, man. Yeah, trust in the Lord.
It exactly. And it brings me right back to that verse where really when you're asking to forgive somebody or asking for forgiveness, you're standing in the gap with them. And now you're fighting on their side to change what's hurting in them.
Yeah, so real quick, so since that, love the moment of obedience, you were living out the scriptures. You know, Jesus time and time again, he said, man, if you have an offense at the altar, don't go ahead and with your sacrifice, actually go and ask for forgiveness, right? And so you're living that out, but how has that then, just real quick, changed, and how have you seen more freedom in your life because of that forgiveness? Has it impacted other areas of your life?
Yeah, I mean, everyday life. I have a wait-and-see attitude, mm-hmm. whether it's political, whether it's, you know, someone saying something that they don't need to say. It's kind of a wait and see attitude to where you're not. I don't get offended. Hmm. I haven't till yet. And in fact, this person that really hurt me in college when I was in college. I mean, really hurt me. I saw them a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
and we were. I said hi or whatever and went on, but I didn't feel a sting. Hmm. I didn't I didn't feel like I was there at that position. Mm-hmm. And I guess the biggest thing I can say as encouragement is stay in the present.
Yeah.
Because hurt can only attack you in your past thoughts or your future fears. Mm-hmm. Stay in the present.
Yeah.
And God is right there in the present at all times.
And I liked what you said. I think this is a good word for all of us, is before you actually carried out what God had told you, you spent time with the Lord. Like, what do you want me to do? In your situation, it was, hey, I want you to actually go to your parents and ask for forgiveness. But you heard the Lord. And so would you just take a moment here and for us to pray? Because I think many of us, man, there's roots of unforgiveness and bitterness that we don't know what it's costing us. Would you just lead us through a moment? We can pray together wherever you are at, if it's right now, if you come back later and maybe listen to it. But let's give the Lord a little space to speak and to share. Maybe if we're holding on to something, and then to actually release that, to cut off that debt. Would you mind, man?
Everyone under the sound of my voice, if you're dealing with anger, frustration, fear, doubt, even loneliness, unforgiveness, God is calling you to be closer to Him so He can pour into you life, love. Some of you may be hurting from a divorce, may be hurting from, you know, an untimely death, someone in your family dying early. People speaking against you. Some may be hurting from people speaking against God. God's telling you to let that go. And depend on Him. Depend on His divine goodness. Mm-hmm. His love that covers a multitude of sin. His love that's long-suffering, patient, and kind.
Yeah.
Your freedom is in forgiveness. And I declare freedom. Not only in this nation, but in this house, in Kingsport, in your families. Mm-hmm. Even people who are married, where the spouse is holding resentment against that spouse, and they have no clue. God's calling for peace in that household.
Freedom, yes.
That iniquity will not be passed down to their children. Father, I thank You for restoration, and I thank You for a love that will develop in this area. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank You, Troy. Man, so powerful, and that's not a one-time prayer, man. That's a prayer that's ongoing. Forgive as many times as it takes. That's what Jesus said when it's 7 times 70. Today, I want us to close with one more type of prayer that I want us to engage in, and this is a prayer that Jesus modeled, which is praying for other people, or what we commonly call intercession. I love that Billy, as we started out, he referenced John 17, and in John 17, it's really the prayer of Jesus that we see. It's like we get a little snapshot into Jesus' quiet time with the Father, which I love that. And I would encourage you today or this week, go check out John 17, read how Jesus prayed. But in John 17, Jesus prays, I don't only ask for these, but all those who will believe in me through them. And so he was praying for his disciples, but then he said, those that are going to come after, I also pray for them. And so what we see in Jesus is, yeah, man, he prayed to the Father. He poured out his heart to him with honest trust, but oftentimes Jesus wouldn't just pray for himself. He also prayed for other people. And what's incredible that as Jesus ascended to be with the Father, right now he is with the Father at this right hand, a place of authority and honor, and he's actually praying for you and me right now. How incredible is that? He's interceding on our behalf. And so I want us to end today by talking about prayer for other people. And you guys know Tyla, she leads worship here. Her husband leads our worship team, Jason, incredible man. And y'all have been really on a journey for a long time, but really the last couple years, as I get to talk with you guys and see what God's doing in your life, really around prayer. And I would love for you, Tyler, just unpack a little bit what you've been learning on this journey and how it's been impacting your life.
Yeah, so if we go back, really about 6 to 8 months before COVID really hit, Jason and I kind of came to this place where we extended an invitation to the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you, when you do that, get ready, because he's going to move. He's going to open your eyes. He will open your heart in ways that you never could imagine. And with that invitation of him to just kind of break down the box, religion, tradition, you know, getting tired of like checking off the box of our lives in ministry, He honored that, and it was a place of him really turning the tables of our hearts. You know, when he went in to cleanse the temple, it was like, "Hey, this is what I'm doing," and the fruit of that is so beautiful. It can be hard, it can be revealing, but it was so sweet. And one of the places in that invitation of him teaching and leading us was this idea of a prayer of intercession. Mm-hmm. And I know we say that word, and we know that it means praying for others, but I just want to read the Hebrew word for intercession and its meaning, which is paga. And it means to struggle by prayer, to press forward, to travail, to weep, to come between, to touch, to reach, to strike the mark, and to attack. And I can tell you throughout our ministry, throughout our marriage, you know, we've prayed for people. It's the ministry way. You have people call you. You have the list. But if I'm honest and I have a moment of confession, it was more of a one and done type prayer. Like, okay, we prayed for them. Let's move on to the next agenda, the next thing. And I'm not doubting that God honors those prayers, mm-hmm. That he heard those prayers of petition for people. But the Lord, it was as if he were asking and leaning into us and saying, hey, what would it look like if you truly bear one another's burdens? If you take on the role of standing in the gap? And a piece of that was him just kind of asking, what if the outcome of someone's situation, someone's healing, someone's whatever they're facing, their need was dependent on the prayer that you prayed? And I had a moment of, and it wasn't in a pressuring way, it was in the sweetest way of like, hey, you have the power of heaven inside of you. You have the authority of the Holy Spirit, that you have the power to pull the realities of heaven here on earth. So do it, you know, like, here, I'm inviting you in to partner with me. So having that mindset, when COVID hit, it's like, okay, Lord, what do you want us to do in this season? And it was so clear, pray. I want you to pray. Pray for things that you never prayed for before. And it was really like that choice of sitting back or fighting. And I can tell you that our living room became a war room. we became fighters in prayer. And I just want to read a few things that maybe when you hear the word intercession, I know, yes, it's praying for others in our lives, but it's also so much more. And I just want to read kind of a list that we have been praying over and continue. And maybe one of these sticks out to you.
Yeah, I love it.
That you feel led to speak into yourself. And so we obviously began speaking against COVID in the name of Jesus, pleading the blood of Jesus over our city, state, nation, and world, praying against depression, anxiety, suicide, addiction, and abuse, praying for the lost, that they would be found, the hurting and the broken. We spoke health and wellness and continue to speak that over our community, for schools and healthcare systems, praying that souls would encounter the love of God like never before, praying for revival in our homes, churches, streets, crying out against racial injustice, speaking wisdom, truth, revelation over our governments, and asking for God to unite and awaken his bride. And the list goes on and on and on. But I know that those petitions and those things are not a one and done. It's the pressing in. It's the pushing in. And I want to say that sometimes the fruit or the answer to prayers of intercession may not be like we want, that we can see it, that we know it immediately. Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of trusting that God is moving in the unseen. He's always speaking. He's always moving. And that, again, when we call on heaven, that that heaven listens, that heaven hears, and moves on our behalf.
So. I love that. And just to see you and Jason grow in that is beautiful and encouraging to me personally. And so I think, you know, today I'd love to close out with just Tyler leading us in a moment to for us to consider, what is the Lord saying? Who's somebody in my life this morning or this afternoon, this evening, whenever you're joining us? You know, Lord, who can I pray for? Or like you said, that list, what can I pray for that's going on in our world right now? And then for us to bring honest truth to say, God, I don't see you working, but I'm declaring that you are working, right? I trust you. And so would you mind just leading us just in a prayer of intercession and give us some space maybe to hear from the Lord first?
Absolutely. Yeah. Jesus, we know that you are interceding for us. We see in your word that as you walked, you spoke prayers over us, that all who would believe that you spoke that in John 17, that you prayed for us on the cross. And even now, Romans and Hebrews states that you are at the right hand of the Father, continually interceding for us. And so we want to partner with you. We understand that this is the current ministry of Jesus.
Yeah, that's good.
As interceding for us, and that we, something happens when we shift our eyes away from ourselves and our own needs and desires, and we look up and we speak life and go to battle on behalf of people's situations, needs, and just our world. So Jesus, right now, what would you have us continually and persistently, sacrificially, intercession, I believe, is linked to sacrifice as it is consistent and persistent. Time and energy, maybe some blood, sweat, and tears thrown in the middle of that. What would you have us intercede for? Would you just reveal to us? And I think it can be different for each one of us. Maybe by week, by day, in seasons. God, but we don't want to miss the opportunity to call on heaven and to say, God, that you would loose the things on earth that are loosed in heaven, that you would bind the things on earth that are bound in heaven. So God, would you just reveal that to us, and may we step in obedience. May we speak with power and authority that we have through the blood of Jesus and through the empty tomb and through the power of the Holy Spirit living and breathing and moving in our lives. And we believe, God, even when we can't see it with our eyes, but we trust that you will hear and that you will move as we cry out to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. I love what Tyler shared. Really, prayer is, it's co-laboring. It's a partnership where God is inviting us to be with him. And that's really the fruit of prayer. That's why we get this church where we value prayer. It's not to say, look at us, we're some religious people that we got it figured out. But prayer really is the path to fellowship with the Lord. There's no way to microwave our relationship with the Lord. There's no shortcut. It happens when we're in his presence and we're transformed as we see him, as we hear him, as we align with him. And so I pray that you were encouraged today, and that you would maybe look at prayer a little bit different, and that we would learn how to be a house of prayer for all people. That's my heart for this church and for our community, that we would see our nation change, not because we vote differently, but because we pray. That we would see the social injustices of our day that are many, that wouldn't just be changed with legislation, but they'd be changed as we pray. I close with this. 2 Chronicles says that if my people will pray, will humble themselves and pray, turn away from their wickedness, I will hear their prayer and I will heal their land. That's our prayer today. Lord, I thank you that you invite us to pray. And so, Lord, may your people, may we be a people marked with prayer, just as Jesus, your life was marked with prayer. May we be a people that have a conversation going with you where we talk to you, but we also hear from you. And Lord, I pray that we would have the humility to look to you in your direction for our individual lives, for our families, for our community, for our nation, for our world, Lord, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth in our spheres of influence as it is in heaven. Lord, turn our hearts towards you. Renew our love for you, our first love, and empower us with your spirit to walk the way you walked. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining with us today. If you have any prayer need whatsoever, man, if you drop us a direct message or if you email prayer@christfellowship.me, we would love to pray with you. Reminder, next weekend, the 24th, we're going to be having our 9 and 11 a.m. gathering here in this room. It's RSVP, so you can do that on Monday. We'll also have our stream available as well. We're looking forward to getting some people back here together to worship. We love you guys. We're grateful for you. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks again, guys, for joining us this morning. I just want to encourage you, if any of those areas of prayer really stuck out to you, take time this week, just like we shared, like Jesus did in his lifestyle. He retreated to a desolate place to spend time with the Father and really press into these things. And so just take that time this week and create that space for you and the Father to connect and press into prayer so it transforms your life even more. Well, God bless. Have a great rest of your week. See ya.